Welcome back to Brass Stacks. This is Sanka Price with you, along with Michelle Brathwaite. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, too. Sorry, this morning.
I'm fine, thank you.
No, I have a problem. This is the first time that I ever called any calling programs, because I don't call calling programs to pull in our government, because no matter who government, I have to live with the authority. Now, I live in St. Manav Village in St. Joseph. The 20th of November, about 11:30 at night, there's a tall cabbage squat tree, little 150 feet tall, come crashing, destroy my whole complete house. The only thing I saved in my house was my part of my daughter and my granddaughter, because we all were being trapped in our home. The only thing I saved was my television and a fridge. I mean, those are material things. And TWA come in, they cut the tree from in the house. They assure me, sir, that they're going to cut the trees down. They send a tractor to go up through there, but the tractor began to skid. They told me, sir, that they're going to come back to repair a road that I would be able to get the trees cut down, that my house would finish, was fixed. I drove MTW. I don't want to call the officers, they can't hold me right. I speak to the officer. He assured me, sir, that they're going to repair, that they can do the road if I get into my home. I continually call him. One time I called, he tell me, well, next week the road should be fixed. I called back again, but any money road to be fixed. I called again yesterday, and one of the officers says to me, he can't give me the road, and he don't know what to tell me now, sir. They keep on turning me completely around. The remainder of my house, I would leave back. The rain began to turn it black. The rain began to mash it up. I need my representative, sir, to come to my rescue to see what I'm seeing. I need my representative to come to see what is going on with my home. My home began to get black, and the grass began to grow up to the remainder of the bouncer that lay back. So I need my representative to come and see what's going on around my home, sir.
You haven't been to the constituency office?
Yeah, I spoke to the lady yesterday.
So you've left the name, number, and everything
she
there?
Yeah, I leave my name, I leave my number mm-hmm. with her, and she told me that my representative was in the House of Assembly, and mm-hmm. she told me that she would get back to me, and I haven't heard anything since.
Okay.
I'm a resigned officer. I retired. I used to work in ESU for the years. I worked with both governments, and I need my representatives to come to see what's going on around with my home.
All right. What you can do is do not put down the phone.
Okay.
Just leave your name and number of the producer, and we can try to pass it on for you. But so just
not
do that.
Not only mm-hmm. that. When the NTW went and they removed some garbage noise, people started carrying my things.
Steal your galvanized. Your neighbors
yes.
stole your galvanized.
Yes, and I got some nice plantings down there. They went and carry all of my plantings, sir.
Your neighbors again.
Yes. I need my representatives. I'm saying to you, I don't criticize no government. God, don't matter who I'm
Sir, you pay tax. Sir, you work to pay taxes, right?
Yes,
sir. This isn't about whichever government is in power. You are a Barbadian citizen. You
yes.
paid your taxes. Some misfortune has taken place, and you should be assisted. It's as simple as that. It ain't got nothing to do with who's a representative or anything like that. You should have been able to hear something from the rural development. You should have been able.
Have you heard from them?
You said
they are waiting on the trees. They tell me the only thing that happened is that right now is the removal of the trees.
Mm-hmm.
My dear, it's come for NTW.
And at MTW, this was at in the Pine, in the headquarters, or you just
yes,
went to the depot?
Yes, headquarters in the Pine.
And you only spoke to a senior person there?
I don't know if he's senior, but I spoke to two officers. I don't know if they're senior. But I spoke to the officers that who were in charge of the cutting of the tree, sir. And whenever we call them, they're telling me one thing, they're telling me something different. Whenever we call back, they're telling me something is my time. It's getting me frustrated. I don't know what to do now. As Mr. Marshall said a while ago, he is frustrated. I'm frustrated too.
Mm-hmm. And when you said this was again?
This is St. Bernard's Village in St. Joseph.
Yeah, no, it's St. Bernard's Village in St. Joseph, yes.
Yeah.
But what date you said the tree came down again?
The 20th of November, 11:30 the night.
Because I... November, and you're,
yes, sir.
And you're, and what are your living conditions like right now?
Right now, I'm staying in an apartment.
So
the referee put us up in an apartment.
So rural has indicated to you that if the tree is removed, they can assist in repairing the house.
Yes, I spoke to the officer this morning. He told me he is waiting specifically until the tree is removed. NTW keep on telling me they got to repair the road, to do the road, to go up to them, and they call back and tell me something different. They just turn me around all the time like a yo-yo. And they need a concrete answer. I need my minister, my representative, to get to contact NTW and find out what they are doing to me. Because he's my representative.
Okay. All right. As I said, don't put down, just speak to the producer, and we'll try to get the pass the number on to you. Onto the representative, okay? You're on the air. Good morning. Good morning. You're on the air. All right. Just while that is happening, just maybe a couple more WhatsApps. When the road leading to the Prime Minister's official residence is not the best, Martins Bay and St. Joseph don't stand a chance. Okay. Let me read this again. The person is saying, when the road leading to the Prime Minister's official residence is not the best, Martins Road and St. Joseph. Oh, okay. I now get it. The official residence will be at Elara Court, 2 Mile Hill. And, well, we'll see. Then there's another one. Tax from the offshore island projects can also contribute to the Scotland District Restoration, hand in glove. All right, and this person is saying to Mr. Callender, when David Thompson carried up the road tax from $240 to over $400, I ain't hear he. Make them pay more, because marriage is about making sport. It should be about $500. And then this one says, talk is one thing, action is totally different. What concrete policies are in place to move, for example, the orange economy? Okay, and we ready for another call? Yes, let's go. You're on the air, good morning.
Mr. Price, good morning to you.
Hey.
Pleasant day.
Pleasant day to you. How are you doing?
Well, hearing you makes me feel at least another day's around.
Well, Valentine's is really coming around. I want chocolates, by the way.
Well, I give them must be a receiver.
They don't cover that about.
I love it. Mr. Price, over the years, I have called the calling program. And I can give myself credit of having made some meaningful calls and got
meaningful results. Contributions, and I would agree 100%.
That's right. Only a week ago, Mr. Ellis was on the program, and we were debating the issue of Bay Street between the Eye Hospital and what was known as the Savoy. And we realized that somewhere along the line that was another area that was taken up for a business enterprise. Nothing is wrong with that. My position here on this is that nobody seemed to be listening other than the Prime Minister. Because when I called and I said that it was a matter for the Ministry of the Environment, the Ministry of Housing and Lands, and also, as far as I'm concerned, tourism. Now, Ms. Morley has seen the connections of a beach and the connections of people and the connections of Barbados as it should be. So I think what I've read is that there's a hold on that establishment in terms of further development. My particular position here is that when we look at that area, it's not only a matter for those agencies. If it's going to be used for the position of a business establishment and car parking, then obvious it should be opinion of the Ministry of Public Works in relation to left or right turn. So you can't have it right there by a traffic light, and then you have a situation of turning all over the place and blocking up this. So I think that is also a consideration that should be looked at. And why I'm saying that, because in the discussion I had with Mr. Ellis, we were looking at high-rise car park locations. And we're looking at areas, we did discuss that there was a need for another high-rise car park in the city. I know for a fact, based on what I'm seeing as far, my observation at the moment seemed that somewhere along the line that there will be a very serious traffic diversion on Bay Street from Gemmett Lane all the way down to Proven Street. And I said that saying that if there's a hotel that's going to be built on the seaside, then similar to what happened back in the 40s with Sandy Lane, where you had to divert and you build a wrong road so that traffic would not be able to drive through the hotel. In this particular instance, I'm saying that traffic will not be able to go down Bay Street in relation to driving through what could become a cluster of hotels at that particular point. So there must be a traffic diversion somewhere there at the Gemmett Lane and somewhere at the junction of Proven Street by Coles Building and somewhere at the junction of Fairchild Street as far down as Independence Square. Now, it would mean that all the buildings on the left going up, which includes a couple there which I don't know who they are, will be affected. So those businesses would be there. Based on what I'm seeing, that whole stretch coming from Coles Building and going down to Fairchild Street, those buildings would be a no-no. Because they would be within the precincts of the hotels based on the joints that I've seen and based on an understanding. I am saying that one of the things that government can look at is to take that whole block, and establish what can be considered as a high-rise car park, which will accommodate at least 200 or 300 or 400 cars in that area. So since that is the case, you divert traffic, you move traffic, you now have to look for some place to find where cars will park, and then you've got a place, since this place will now become non-existent in terms of business, that I think would be a very good location for the high-rise car park. That's only a suggestion. My particular position here, Mr. Price, is that when I following up what has happened on the eastern end of Bay Street, and that is taking it from the proposed plan for the Hyatt to take me to the junction of Gemmett Lane. There's some areas of question of properties in between there. And I say that because of following up on certain things that are extremely important to the listeners in Barbados and the listeners to this show. Now, you've got a nightclub or whatever you call it, just off Wellington Street. And then in that easterly direction, Mr. Price, you've got what they consider to be another little eatery. And then you've got some properties in between there that are beachfront properties. And then you come to the Copa. Now, I'm saying that somewhere along the line, the eastern end of Hyatt, in the easterly direction, that those properties on the beach side will eventually be taken for the development of the hotels. And then in a westerly direction, now that I'm seeing one moving from Lower Bay Street to Upper Bay Street, then is a clear indication that you're making provision for east and west of the establishment in terms of development. These are things that the public of Barbados can read, can see, and can be told.
Mm-hmm. Mark, let me just cut in here. Do you write down any of these ideas that you have?
Mr. Price, I can be honest with you, right? I do write down the ideas. I feel vindicated when things happen that I looked at and realized, well, look, I'm not the only person. Mm-hmm. I can't give myself the credit of it, because truthfully, the person may be thinking, but they may not have had the privilege of voicing the opinions like how I voiced mine.
Fair enough. But why I ask the question is this. When I hear you speak and I hear others speak about Bridgetown and about some of the things that we need to look at in Bridgetown. Every day it reinforces my perspective that what we really need to have is one of these meetings where people can say, okay, these are the things that we would like to do to see happen in Bridgetown. And there is, you know, how the government has shown a plan as to what they will, how they would like to see the hotel development and whatnot done in Bridgetown, which is fine. But then you have to look at the traffic flow and whatnot. We should have a sit down meet, a meeting where people can discuss, these are some of the problems that we see are going to, that are going to be occurring in terms of traffic flow and whatnot. And these are some of the recommendations like yours for the high rise car parks and et cetera, because I've heard a number of these views. I am not hearing this as yet. And this is something that I would really like to hear. Also, I think when ideas like yours come up, and this, it demonstrates that there are people out there in the community who can make a contribution if somebody will listen to them. You made a point just now that it seems that only the Prime Minister is listening. I don't know how significant people thought that point was or not, but I thought it was extremely significant, because I think it's sad that it has to come back to her all the time to say something on issues when the line ministers could be dealing with them. There's certain issues I just don't think that the Prime Minister should be coming to be speaking on, because the line minister should be dealing with them. I'm not going to go into any detail, but I think you will know what I mean. There are too many little things that pop up and they're allowed to fester and they aired here on brass tacks. And then the only person who comes forward to speak on them is the Prime Minister, because the line ministers stay back. I said the last Wednesday I was here that we need to have a greater level of communication with the public, the ministers. Glenn Murray picked that up, and that's what he was talking about earlier, and that's why I agreed with him as well.
What is the problem, Mr. Price? Some people feel that when you make statements, you are attacking the system. You're not attacking the system. What you're actually doing is that you're observing something and you're wondering if they've seen it. Now, take, for example, we've been talking, and I openly see a situation that I could ask a question. What has become of the basic development plan? What has happened as far as the marina that is supposed and the road is supposed to be built from Gemma's Lane all the way down to the entrance of the port? You know, you're not hearing any more talk about that.
Well, maybe Mr. Kirk Humphrey will someday come and discuss these issues, because they're all part and parcel of the blue economy, I would think.
I'm also coming to that, right? Being fair to the parliamentary representative of the city, extremely busy. I mean, only one body here can say it could be more busy than Bostick, and that's the virus. Bostick is extremely busy. But I also believe that Bostick and Kurt Humphrey has a responsibility to their constituents. And nobody heard from Mr. Bostick in relation to the development on lower end of Bay Street. Nobody. His constituents have not been told, and I wonder if it all is well. Vice versa, as far as the Bayland is concerned, Kurt Humphrey, a well-liked politician, a person who meddles and who gets... I'm certain he's been confronted on more than one occasion by the people of the Bayland and the area corresponding areas who ask the question, what is going to happen to the beach? Mm-hmm. Now, here it is now. The Prime Minister realizes it can't happen. And as a result of this, can't operate it. So I have to give the Prime Minister the credit and the position that here's a person who can see problems down the road. Here's a person who realizes that somewhere along the line that development is all right, but also people are part of development. So if you shut off people, then your development cannot continue. So in closing, I'm asking that a whole new look be looked at as far as the Bay Street, from Proben Street all the way down to Jamet's Lane. And I'm also asking that some sort of consideration be given a chit-chat with the residents, find out exactly how they feel about certain things, because they don't want to have a development that is not truly accepted and respected. And then you have, like what happened in Jamaica, as I said before, you have above is the big hotels and below is the slum areas. You don't want that in Barbados.
Mm-hmm.
You want an understanding of development. You can't think about people coming to work and have nowhere to park the car. You can't think about car renters renting vehicles to guests. And unfortunately, there's nowhere to wait to park the car. So I'm saying that the same way you're developing, let us understand that part of the development is for a high-rise car park.
Mm-hmm.
And also, as far as the beach is concerned, you have to acknowledge the fact that the beach is traditional Barbados by holidays and Sundays and weekends. And when you subtract the beach from Barbados, then you're subtracting what we consider to be the life of tourism. Because people tell you that, the tourists tell you that, we love Barbados, we love the people, and you've got some lovely beaches.
Okay, Mark, thanks for your contribution. We have to take a commercial break, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Brass Tacks. This person here on the WhatsApp is saying, does anyone in Barbados have insurance so that if your house is damaged, you can put in a claim? Why is this the government's business, except for removing the trees, if it's government land? And this is in response to the situation at St. Bernard's Village in St. Joseph. We go back to the phone lines. We got a full slate of calls. You're on the air. Good morning. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, good morning. Go right ahead.
Hey, good morning. I'm calling to talk about three short things. One is the coronavirus in China. I've lived in China for the past 3 years. In fact, I lived in the city of Wuhan where it originated. And I just want to caution, I've seen in the social media some distorted news. And as the president of the U.S. calls fake news about the virus. And I just wanted to caution the public about, using their judgment, good judgment about news coming out of China. I'm in touch with my colleagues in Wuhan. They're on the ground in Wuhan. And some of the news coming out of China is really different from what we see in social media here. Even in Barbados. So I just wanted to caution us to use our good judgment about, you know, assessing the situation in China. I will mention specifically some news about China killing those 20,000 persons with the virus, so in an effort to get rid of the virus. And that is obviously not valid news. So that is one comment that I wanted to make. The other comment is about our level of service here in Barbados. Having lived away from the island for 3 years, you come back and it seems as if you have fresh eyes, and sometimes you expect changes to happen, good changes to happen. And I was a little disappointed at that our service level does not seem to have improved. And there's still this attitude that when we serve people, we are, I don't know, we seem to think that we're doing them a favor as opposed to providing a service for which people pay. And I just want to mention two departments that I've been in touch with in the last 2 days, and one is Corporate Affairs and the other is MPW. The way that business is done today and with changes and some deadlines are stringent, I would like that service providers appreciate that certain services are time, you know, that they're under time constraints. I would like people to appreciate that.
What you're asking for basically is that there should be deadline. In other words, if you apply today, Wednesday, February 12th, the policy should be that within 3 or 4 working days, if or less, the matter could be dealt with. And if there is an issue, that will occur, that when they examine the document, they should get back to you so that they can facilitate that business in a quick, in a short order. That's basically what you're saying.
Yeah, and I think the root of the problem is includes two things. One is the attitude, and I don't I've attended a online an EQ course hosted by Tony Olden, for example. I think that is one part of the problem where we have to improve our emotional intelligence. The other is literally manpower, a lack of manpower, and I think that's the problem at Corporate Affairs, where, for example, we submitted documentation in October, and to date it has not been completed, and those people are under pressure, because it's not that they're not doing the work, it's that it's too few persons doing the work. So it is two facets to the problem. So that was my point number two. The third point, and this is another thing upon my return that I was disappointed about. I witnessed the fire at the dump. It was last week, I think.
Mangrove landfill, yes.
Yes. There's no regulated recycling in place. I listened with pride to our Prime Minister addressing the UN Assembly. I mean, as a QC girl, there were different levels to my pride. But she spoke with common sense. She spoke about she asked, where is the moral leadership? And we, as an island state, we are especially vulnerable to the hazards of climate change. I also, however, think that charity begins at home. And we need to look at implementing regulations that require recycling. Having fires every year with associated costs for the taxpayers and associated costs, the health costs, et cetera, that's not sustainable. And I am confident that this administration will move, unlike previous administrations, will move to implement measures that will require us to recycle our garbage. I asked for a tour of a recycling plant in St. Thomas, the
Bees Bottling, okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I was amazed at the level of recycling that company does. I mean, they crush PET bottles, they crush glass. There is no reason why we should be sending certain materials to the dump and thus cause things like fire. It's not sustainable. And he or they have equipment and measures in place to recycle tons of garbage and also generate foreign exchange for this country. So I just want to encourage the administration. I want to encourage us, because we always talk about government as well, but it's not only political will, it is all will as well. For us to be conscious that for our children and for the future generation, and in fact for the present generation, the way we treat our garbage is not sustainable. And that if we can use recycling plants like these bottles, for example, to recycle our garbage, if we can advocate for regulations to recycle our garbage, let's do that. So those were the three points that I wanted to make.
If I may engage you, starting at the third point, first, in terms of Bees Bottling, those who listen to me here would know how strong I am, in the whole idea of recycling. And I see Bees Bottling as part of the solution, and I've said so on more than one occasion, so I wouldn't dwell on that one. So I agree with you there. On the second point, in terms of facilitating business, this is something that has been talked about I remember Don Valinis, Minister of International Business, he had a saying, it can't be business as usual. He used to say that all the time. And since this administration took over, they have talked about corporate affairs. They've talked about trying to make it much more efficient. But still, you keep hearing these complaints. And clearly, something has to be done, and has to be done very, very quickly, because the level of frustration that one hears from attorneys in particular is really becoming louder and louder. It really can't go on.
Correct. And if I may inject here, yes, something here, a comment. Mm-hmm. Before I became a teacher, and that's what I was doing in China, I was teaching economics. I was an accountant for a number of years, went into offshore banking, et cetera. And I engaged with several parties who literally turned away from Barbados because of their time constraints.
Yeah. And that is, and I've heard the officials from BIBA make that point repeatedly, and they've been doing this over the last 20 years or so.
There you go.
So it's nothing new, but the point is, Barbados is losing out because of the level of inefficiency, and it is pointless for us to continue just shrugging our shoulders. I remember this administration said something about privatizing it, corporate affairs department, so that let some private business take it over and run it much more efficiently. Mm-hmm. I don't know where how far that idea has advanced, but you know, clearly, given the complaints that I certainly hear personally from attorneys, and now yourself coming on the air talking about it, it seems that the situation needs to be looked at, and urgently. But what I really want to engage you on for another minute or so is Wuhan. you were a teacher there, you said.
Yes.
If you don't mind talking about Wuhan, just tell Barbadians about this province. As you said, we've been seeing clips, video clips, on a number of things from Wuhan. And but first of all, can you tell us what your experience there? Living and working as a teacher?
I loved and I enjoyed working in China. The two negatives, and I've told this to my family and other parties, the two negatives for me is the lack of celebration of Christmas and the distance from home. It is not, you can't just pop home for a week because it can take effectively 24 hours to get from China to Barbados, because you have to go through either Canada or New York. Other than that, I really enjoyed it. The people are friendly. If I've also mentioned to others as well, if there is a people who can survive and thrive through this crisis, it is the Chinese people. They are resilient. They are, you know, the negatives that we look at in terms of obedience to government is a strength for them. If their government tells them to stay inside, they will stay inside. However, there is a capitalistic mindset as well. They work hard. They want to make money. I've seen things happen. I'm sure you've seen the video with the hospital that was built in the number of days.
It is to build a 1,000-room hospital, yes.
Exactly.
And actually, it went over schedule. It was supposed to be built in 6 days.
Exactly, 16 days.
In 6 days, not 16, 6 days. And they did it in 8 days.
I've seen that in Wuhan, literally, where one evening, I for example, entered my apartment complex, and the next morning when I came out, there was a building at the entrance, you know, and people in place, you know, manpower in place. So, and Wuhan is a transportation hub. I've seen the you know, they've is supposed to be center of transportation for China. I am really praying for Wuhan. There's lots of potential coming out of that country. My son studied there for a year. He didn't like the distance between Barbados and China, but what he did leave with was a business coming out of China. And I you know, even that channel, that relationship, Barbados and China, there's lots of business potential there as well. So it is in our interest as well for China to get over this virus. And there are news coming out of China from my colleagues. We are looking forward to May. May is when summer starts, and apparently the virus cannot thrive as well in the heat as it is thriving now. So we're looking forward to May when things are expected to get better. Meanwhile, we are teaching online. And as you know, they're 12 hours ahead. So we are, for those of us who had left Wuhan, we will be on a kind of a 24-hour working life, because we will have to be teaching from 7 in the evening to about 4 a.m.
Mm-hmm. So you left Wuhan recently?
I left Wuhan on the 18th of January.
Oh, I see. Just as the virus was, just as the world became aware of the virus.
Just as the world became the virus, but we knew about it before. And I will venture to say that Wuhan should have been shut down at least a week earlier than it was. And if it had, I would have been caught there with my other colleagues. They are literally inside. One member of the family can leave every 3 days to buy food, and they cannot take a car. You can't drive. You have to buy. You have to walk to get anything that you want. And as I said, only one member of the family can leave every 3 days to do that.
Well, based on what you're hearing from your relative, well, from the people, your colleagues, what did they do during the day? I mean, all those hours cooped up in an apartment.
Exactly.
How do they handle that?
Reading, as you watching TV. The young people, and that's why the headmaster mentioned this in his last memo. The young people are watching videos. Well, they are couch potatoes anyway, so it's normal for them. They're sleeping, playing games, watching videos, you know, on social media, etc. I think it's more difficult for the adults who are not as digital citizens that the young people are. I think it's more difficult for the adults than for the young people. But as I said, we've started designing online or transitioning to an online platform. So my colleagues will be engaged in that, in redesigning their courses to teach them online. Several schools have started online courses as well. And I understand that some factories are also beginning to reopen. But what they're doing is quarantining their staff in hotels, and then they enter the factory, and as you can appreciate, they can't return home. Then they have to be accommodated so that they remain, virus free.
Yeah, I see.
So those are the kinds of things that the factories and the schools are having to do. Some schools have also quarantined their teachers as well.
Okay. Well, look, thank you for that insight into what's happening in Wuhan. And we have to take a commercial break, but we'll be right back. Welcome back to Brass Tacks. Remember, Friday, February 14th, that is Valentine's Day. So for those who are so inclined to take their spouse out, or their significant other, that's a special day to also give presents. And but, you know, the best way, I believe, is to always let somebody know. Always let the person you know, who you care about, know that you care about them every day by just telling them that. Because we never know when it's our time. And, you know, you can leave home today and not get back home. So always let the person you care about know how you feel about them. And to my mind, that's one of the best things you can do at any every day. And not just wait for Valentine's to do something special. Anyhow, that's my 1 cent worth. Here on the WhatsApp, someone is saying, are the ministers empowered to speak? And this person is referring to a matter I raised, really, where, well, myself and Glenn Murray, where we're asking that there should be more press conferences by ministers explaining what is happening within their ministry and what is being done about certain challenges that the country faces. Now we go back to the phone lines. You are on the air. Good morning. Good morning. You're on the air. Good morning, sir.
Right.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Good Hello?
Morning, sir.
Good morning, Arthur.
No.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Hey, it's Paris.
Okay. I didn't pick up the voice. I'm
gentleman,
sorry.
I heard a gentleman speaking about a tree called Don Dumbers' house.
Yes.
But I would like to know if the tree have an owner. I would like to know that. I would like to know if you could tell me if the tree have an owner. Because if I have an owner, he should tell the owner to sit growing tall to try and get it cut down before it comes on damage his house. And if it concerns he should do the same very thing, cut it down. Because how you win and win, they tumble it down on the house. And that's what he should do. Don't let it tumble down from your house. Then to call from the government to do this. And who it concerned should get it cut it down. You should tell them to cut it down. If it concerned he should cut it down too. And so on. I would like to know why you didn't do that. Who it concerned. I would like to know if you could tell me that, I would feel good. If it concerned he or somebody. I had a tree here, not my tree, next door. A tall, golden tree. I said, guns in here. I said, look, I tell the woman, look, let me tell you something. Can I get that cut down here? Because when I come down, that can get down my house. That can get down my house. And she won't cut it down. And I get on, punch you back all the time. So if I can't get it cut down, I can call the police and call the government thing and talk about it. Because I'm going to get it cut down and damage my house. Then it's a rule law. The tree come down and damage my house. No, you can't sit back and wait up and then things happen. Then call from the government. You live there. And you got to see about yourself. You can have it like so for you. Next thing I have to say, these terrorists and these monkey stuff that going to landfill and burying is bad business. These terrorists had a furnace or somewhere to burn at least 200 a day, but burn 3 or 4 at a time that they won't get a lot of ashes with a chimney. You know how these factories would have had? A furnace, you know, to burn them with gas to get sugar and thing milk. But these guys are going out of furnace like and burn 3 at a time. That it won't get a lot of ashes and smoke to annoy nobody. Only 3 at a time. If you get to 200 a day, it's quite sufficient. Instead of burning these tires ain't getting rotten.
The good news, sir, let me just cut in here. The good news is that Arawak Cement Plant, they're reconfiguring their furnace. If I remember the article correctly, it was in the Sunday Sun about 2-3 weeks ago. Mm. They're reconfiguring their furnace or installing a new furnace. I can't remember which one. But in any case, they're going to... The whole idea is that they're going to be using the tires that we have stockpiled to fire that furnace.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is going to go a long way in resolving this situation.
So it
is something that is worthwhile. And these are the sort of strategies that I think that we have to be looking at going forward.
Yes, sir, because they don't want everything to be burying. Because next thing you know, the heat from these things, we do that, how it doing, monster rot. No, monster rot. How the
Well, that's a little different. That's the volcano.
So it's a 15 year, but that's the regular things all the time.
Yeah.
It would do like that.
Yeah.
The earth would get hot. Man, it can send smoke and
that's a little different. That's
all my plan how you hear here.
Yes.
It's time to come here. You have that for horse to run you. So you got to try and get rid of these things somehow, burn them, and get them instead of burying all the time. Mm-hmm. You think out of half the time.
Yes.
You have it for holes. Like Montserrat.
So is there anything else you want to raise, sir?
Huh?
Is there anything else you would like to raise? Any other point?
Well, I would like to work on the little point, but I mean, I don't hope you don't get offense about it.
No problem. Go ahead.
I don't like how these people get from your program and stand so long, though. They should have about 15 minutes so long or no more. Because people don't want when you call in for a program, they're waiting long. Like the hell, waiting long.
Mm-hmm.
Now my ears burn off, man. Get on here.
Yeah.
So I would like to just make a call, and I hope you long talk till next time. And next time, talk to something more.
Okay.
But the talk too long, man. I'm surprised, sir.
All right, fair enough.
I let you know.
All right, I thank you. And I understand what you're saying, because you were waiting kind of long. And I have one call that has been waiting 49 minutes, and one has been, well, both of them have been waiting 49 minutes. So I'll try to get to them as shortly. Okay? Well, thank you very much, and for participating in today's show.